This week on It's So Bad, Boom Shakalaka, we're adding NBA Jam to the endless list. We are adding this week the seminal classic of the sports genre from video games. We have a number of classics on our list. We have, let's see here, Tecmo Super Bowl. We have, what other classic? Blades of Steel. We have a bunch of different great sports games, but I think we might be adding one of the best ever in sports video games. In NBA Jam to our endless list. Yes, we have four different sports games as of today. Tecmo Super Bowl, Madden NFL 2004, Blades of Steel, and John Madden Football 93. I thought we had more. Surprising. Chris, I think you were on all of those episodes.
Well, you know, you can also count the pro wrestling games because pro wrestling is the greatest sport.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and also WWE No Mercy, WWF No Mercy.
Sports entertainment counts as a sport.
I was going to say, we're talking about sports, not sports entertainment.
I mean, NBA Jam is pretty sports entertainment-y, let's be real here.
Right, but it's based on a sport.
So this was my pick for the addition to the endless list of our, as we drive towards 100 games on our list, we are adding some of the best games. So last week we added Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and the week before we added The Last of Us. Castlevania Symphony of the Night being our new number 3, where Last of Us came in at 17 initially. But yeah, so we're adding NBA Jam this week to our list. Our list, if for our new listeners and listeners who need a refresh, we are adding every game of all time to our list, good, bad, otherwise, determined by our subjective feelings, how we feel about the game, in terms of its gameplay, its design, its music, its graphics, how it holds up. Its story, its everything in between. We determine where it goes on this list. Its history, its legacy. If some people want to include that, some people don't. Our terms of our list are rather subjective as well, but we are adding every list, and we're debating it at the end of every episode as we run through these games. You can find the complete list on our Medium page. This is our 97th entry to the endless list. And so, NBA Jam. What does everybody feel about NBA Jam?
Boom Goes the Dynamite. That's what I feel about this.
Boom Shakalaka.
This is Boom Shakalaka, yeah. I mean, this is definitely one of the best sports games. I was not the biggest basketball fan growing up, but like, this was one of the games that I'd see at the arcade and I'd play and I'd always have a good time. Like, I liked the arcade-y aspects of it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that's kind of like what make not being the biggest sports fan growing up. That's what made it stand out to me a couple of times that I played it. Is that like it wasn't like a super realistic basketball game. It was just kind of this fun video game version 2-on-2 with like ridiculous dunks and, you know, catchphrases and stuff like that.
It captures the extremeness with the next of the 90s so well in this game.
Well, that's like early in the extreme phase, right? I feel like this is like when it started popping off as being extreme.
Yeah.
And I don't think this game's necessarily extreme in like a 90s sense, like a strictly 90s sense, but it definitely is like, we're going to take this concept and go full scale on it. Like, we're going to make a 2-on-2 basketball game, but you know what we're going to add? Dunks where you jump up 100 feet in the air and slam it down, and you can go on fire, and you can light the rim on fire and break the backboard.
It's kind of
like,
we're
just going to take everything to 11.
It's kind of like someone said, hey, remember Arch Rivals? Let's do that, but make it completely even more gonzo than Arch Rivals was.
That's actually exactly what they did. So the people who made this game was Midway. Midway acquired Williams. Williams made Arch Rivals, and they were iterating on the concept of Arch Rivals to make this game.
Another classic game. I wish the spilled candy and soda that appears in the second half of your Arch Rivals games carried over to NBA Jam, but I digress.
So, actually, I'll... In NBA Jam Tournament Edition, you can turn on power-ups, which are little things on the court that make you go on fire for like a possession or speed up or have unlimited power, unlimited turbo, things like that. But yeah, this game was released in 1993 by Midway. Midway, you might remember from our list, is a the people who made Mortal Kombat. They also made, I believe, let's see here, what else did they make? They made Smash TV. They made Total Carnage. They made a whole bunch of these like 90s games that you might remember from the time. They also made Rampage. They made they published Tapper. So they were very much involved in the arcade scene.
Your favorite.
A very big fixture on the arcade scene back in the 90s. But yeah, they had made. They had made Mortal Kombat in 1992, and they had acquired the company that made Arch Rivals. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to iterate on that concept, and when they did that, they made NBA Jam. And how they iterated was they added in digitized actors who basically allowed you to have like a more personalized experience with playing as your favorite basketball player, which was engaging for people who were playing this game at the time. But yeah, so this game, NBA Jam, was made directly after Total Carnage was released, which was a flop in the arcades. Chris, do you know what Total Carnage is?
Was that the sequel to Smash TV?
It was the spiritual successor to Smash TV. Okay. It was very Smash TV-y, but you were going up on a screen as opposed to being in like a set room. There was way more shit happening, and it was way more over the top than even Smash TV.
I don't think I ever played that though.
Yeah, so they came up with the idea, as we said, to kind of like take Arch Rivals, make it into a modern game. And Arch Rivals is basically the same game. You could do everything that you can do in NBA Jam, except NBA Jam is a little bit more refined, and they added the showy dunks. They added more.
You shove people instead of cracking them in the jaw with your fist like you do in Arch Rivals. That's
right. It's essentially the same thing.
Yes.
As opposed to punching them and falling over, you shove them and fall over. But you can also like swipe away the ball if you want to, if you're not hitting the turbo. So the big thing about this game to make it fun is they took out all the fouls, which Arch Rivals never had. They did include shot clock violations, and what else? What other thing can you do? I think that's it. That's the only foul, right? Pretty sure.
Probably, yeah.
Making it so, just like regular basketball for a period of time.
Right.
So you can get away with anything.
So they wanted to use, they always had the idea to use the NBA license, but I guess the NBA balked originally with giving them the license because for some reason the NBA headquarters thought that video games were associated with a rowdy crowd and the wrong type of people that they wanted to market to, which sounds like nuts to me. I don't know who they were talking to on the licensing department.
Yeah, don't want any new fans. Let's not broaden our reach here.
But yeah. If you think about it, like on the Nintendo Entertainment System, I don't think there's any NBA licensed games. There are player licensed games.
Yeah,
there's like Jordan versus Bird.
Yeah.
But there's not like there's a Magic Johnson game, Magic Johnson Fast Break. But I don't think there's Double Dribble. But that's not licensed. So I don't think there's a licensed NBA game. So they like took a break from video games for quite a while because they didn't want to be associated with them. But Midway like convinced them to give them their license, and they paid them quite well. So for each unit sold, they gave them $100 of that unit for the license. That was the terms of their deal.
Wow.
Regardless of whether arcade cabinet or console.
Yeah, and that's probably like something like 10% of their overall revenue from the arcade units, which is crazy. Because those units probably cost like, what, $1,000 to $1,500?
Yeah.
I would imagine back then.
Yeah.
The initial pitch of that game, the game was supposed to include replays, coaches' tips, different camera angles, and fast break, first person perspective fast breaks. But they were like, none of this is fun.
Yeah, so I was going to say, it's like, you know, not knowing how those features are going to be implemented, I'm glad none of that made it into the game, because this game does not need that.
Right. Yeah, and so I mentioned too that they wanted to add digitized graphics to this because of their experience with Mortal Kombat. They actually had a developer go to DePaul to a college basketball practice, and they looked at players, and this guy who was a developer approached a basketball player to have him be the mocap of everybody that's in the game. So everybody in the game is done by Steven Howard, who would eventually become a NBA player. He wasn't a very big NBA player, but he did pretty much all of the mocap for this game. And the mocap included the dunks. So they filmed him like doing ridiculous spins, like laying down and like running off of tables and stuff for the mocap of this game.
It's awesome.
They also initially wanted to have Marv Albert do the commentary for this game, but instead they just got somebody who sounded like Marv Albert.
Was Marv Albert in a bit of trouble at the time of the release of this game, or did that happen later?
No, I think that was the late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not up my...
He was too expensive for them.
Again, not a needed feature. That's not what you play this game for.
Right. So when they were testing this game, so they brought it to arcades, and arcade makers back then, they'd put a machine in some arcade that was pretty close by to where they were developing the game as a test run to see what people liked, and so that they could go and watch people play it. And normally when they did this, they could tell if it was a good game. If the games were making about $1,000 a week in quarters, they were like, oh, this is a great game. This is going to be really good. And Mortal Kombat, when they put that into their test market, they made $1,200 to $1,400 a week. So $1,200 or $1,400 a week. When they put NBA Jam into the test area, they made $2,200 a week.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah, so $2,200.
Yeah, damn.
All right. Like, it blew away what they were thinking this game was going to make. Because at this time, there weren't arcade-y sports games. They were all, like, simulations, basically.
Right. It's like I think video games were not as ubiquitous in the culture back then as,
right.
Like, everybody can be into video games. Anybody can be a gamer and play at the arcade. Like, there was definitely a stereotype of the gamer that was stronger back then. And now you do a little bit of outreach to, like, NBA fans,
right,
who are in the mainstream.
Right.
Yeah, right. That makes perfect sense.
And also, they basically made all of the players sort of look like their person counterparts, mm-hmm, right? So they personalized the game so you could play as your favorite player in a 2-on-2 really fun, fast-paced game with dunks and all this other crazy shit that was happening in that game.
I was going to say, it's like, I think kind of to Steve's point, the accessibility, like, this is the type of arcade cabinet that, like, didn't have to just be, like, in an arcade. Like, I mean, I remember this being every movie theater you went to, like, every hotel you went to. Like, this is, like, an arcade game that could be, like, anywhere. Like, in those places that maybe they only get, like, 2 or 3 arcade games is, like, a novelty. Like, this is that one that can be open to everybody because of the NBA license. Like, so many people who don't normally play arcade games are going to approach it and play it, and just how easy it plays is going to make people coming back to it. I'm not surprised it made that much money a week.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, just in general, for historical data, this game made in quarters, not in unit sales, just in quarters put into the machine, over $1 billion.
I'm sure I...
all time.
I'm sure I contributed a significant amount to that total.
Yeah, it's actually, so US Gamer put up an article a couple years back that put up, like, historically what were the best arcade games of all time. NBA Jam was number 5. It was, ahead of it was Ms. Pac-Man, Street Fighter 2, Space Invaders, and Pac-Man. So those are the only games that are above it in terms of arcade earners out there.
Hmm.
It's pretty wild. But yeah, so you could put, and this was at a time period where the NBA was like the hottest it ever was. Like the NBA was, I think, a bigger deal than the NFL at the time, was a bigger deal than Major League Baseball. It was like at the peak NBA. There were all these like huge superstars. You had Michael Jordan, you had Patrick Ewing, you had Charles Barkley, you had all of these big, huge guys. You had even small guys were getting huge brand deals like Larry Johnson, Grandmama, you got Muggsy Bogues. All these people were Karl Malone and John Stockton were blowing up on the Jazz. There were so many huge players.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe Mutombo, he was out there as well. Was he in this game?
Yeah,
Shaq was in his rookie year.
He's in the arcade one.
Notable absence for Michael Jordan though in this game. And I kind of like thinking about like when did they? I don't remember this. Was this a feature of the arcade games, or did this come later when you could start unlocking the secret characters? Because then you get like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, right, and like all sorts of like '90s personalities that kind of get infused into the NBA Jam appeal.
Yeah. So I believe in the arcade games you could, if you put in the initials correctly, you could unlock those characters. In the initial version of NBA Jam, it was just Bill Clinton, Al Gore. For some reason, Warren Moon. I don't know why, but Warren Moon was the character, and then a bunch of developers. So all the developers who worked on the game, you could play as them.
If you want to play as nerdy developers against NBA superstars, this is the game for you.
But yeah, so they gave the developers gave themselves like ridiculous stats to make people want to play with them. So like,
oh, of course.
One of the guys has like maxed out dunk that just will automatically dunk every time. One guy has like maxed out three pointers. So there's a bunch. There's even like kids of some of the developers are in secret playable characters as well.
And looking at the roster of players that were in at least the arcade version of the game, so many good guys.
When they made the tournament edition. When they made the tournament edition, it was like ridiculous numbers. They added like mascots and all these other things to it as well.
Ugh, Celtics were Kevin McHale and Reggie Lewis.
they were ranked as the second worst team.
That's not an original big three Kevin McHale you're getting there. That's
oh no.
That's 1992-93
Kevin McHale.
That's Shadow of his former self, Kevin McHale, is what you're getting.
Yeah, so I mean, I think like the big teams that people played as were Pippen and Horace Grace, because the Chicago Bulls were just crazy, and Pippen was pretty good in that game. John Stockton and Karl Malone were OP as well. But for me, my personal favorite is Reggie Miller and whoever else on the Indiana Pacers, because they were... fucking, he is ridiculous at shooting three-point shots. And if you just shoot three-point shots in this game, you have a very good, and you're good at it, you have a very good chance of winning.
Oh, F that. Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, I was like all day, every day.
Yeah, I always play as Charles Barkley in the Suns, so that's my jam.
Dan Marjolais, I believe. This is the other guy on the Suns.
I don't know if it is that guy, actually. I thought it was like Johnson or something. I don't know. Charles Barkley. That's why I'm there.
And it's, you know, when it's the arcade version, all you need is Grandmama. That's all you need. And I think we were talking about this before the pod started that, so Kendall Gill was who was with Grandmama in the arcade one. Bugsy Bogues was the third alternate too, but when it switches to the console version, Alonzo Mourning gets subbed in place of Kendall Gill, making the Hornets even better. And I will wreck all your teams with the Hornets. I'm just putting that out there.
So the reason why that happened too is because the original arcade release was the roster from the 1992-93 season. When they switched over to the console release, it was the 93-94 season that they had the different players. And so some players went in and some players went out. I believe in the arcade version, the original one, Shaq is there. But he signed a separate deal where he wasn't in the NBA Players Association by the time the console release came out. So he's not in the console release. That's also the reason why Michael Jordan is not in this game. He had a personal exclusive rights deal with Nike at the time, so his likeness could not be used in this game unless they paid Nike an exorbitant amount of money. So, but even without those players, this game was very fun to play as your second favorite NBA player.
Oh yeah, I mean,
you also learned about players by playing this game. Like, who the fuck knew who Detlef Schrempf was before you played as him on the Indianapolis Pacers?
But also like. I mean, that classic, like, turbo boost feature with, like, lighting up the sneakers and then, of course, the heating up and then the firebomb dunks. So good.
Right. And then, the legacy of heating up when it goes to beer pong rules, you know, you got to play NBA Jam rules. And if you get 3 in a row on beer pong in college, you know, your teammate would have to call heating up to keep shooting. Just, you know, it invaded the culture in so many ways.
I mean... The origin of the term boom shakalaka is from NBA Jam. It's ripped from, like, I guess it was ripped from a movie where somebody exclaimed something similar, but the guy got it wrong, and so he wrote it down as in the script as boom shakalaka. So that's where it comes from, is NBA Jam. But yeah, I mean, this game, in terms of, like, the overall presentation of this game is really what sells it, from the realistic players to the commentary to the ridiculous dunks. That's really what draws people in, because, you know, you got the commentator screaming out, "Hello!" when people are like, "He put up a brick," or like, "from downtown." And when you're in the arcade, you just hear this, right? And it draws you in. So, it was yeah.
It had a similar effect. I was not the biggest sports fan, as I said, but there was a little basketball movie that came out when I was a child called Space Jam, and that did have Michael Jordan in it. And there was a tie-in video game that I played on PlayStation, the Space Jam video game, that kind of like ripped directly from the NBA Jam formula. Even had Jam in the name too, obviously. But it was like, I think it was 3-on-3 basketball, and there would be like items you could pick up on the court as you're like shooting around to get power-ups, like Michael's secret juice or whatever they say from the movie. But it plays like, and it has like the ridiculous over-the-top commentary, and it was just like, okay, NBA Jam, but with Looney Tunes and 3-on-3 instead. Here you go.
I wonder what, so the Space Jam video game, oh, this is a PlayStation game. Should play that game.
I mean, we got it.
I always love those PlayStation games, as we discussed in the last podcast. So this game, it's interesting. There, after this game came out, there was like a really poorly received sequel to. So there was NBA Jam. Then they made Tournament Edition, which basically just expanded NBA Jam. But then Midway lost the rights to the NBA Jam name. And Acclaim made a game, and Acclaim is known for making shitty games in this time period. They made NBA Jam Extreme, which was a PS1 and I believe an N64 game and a Saturn game.
Oh,
and it was really bad.
Oh,
It took the game, instead of using digitized 2D graphics, it made it 3D. And the camera angles changed, which was like super jarring, and it didn't work very well. So that was NBA Jam Extreme. Midway would go on to make NBA Showtime or NBA Hangtime. NBA Hangtime is actually fucking great. Even though I have it on N64, and it's a really good version of NBA Jam. So if you want to check out what the next iteration of this is, go check out NBA Hangtime. They also made College Slam for Genesis and for the Super Nintendo, which was basically the same NBA Jam but with college teams. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Until I looked it up. In 2010, EA bought Midway, or I think it was like the late aughts, but in 2010, EA made a remake of NBA Jam. Did you guys play that game? It was a PS3, Xbox 360, and Wii game.
No.
And also it was out on iOS as well.
No, I never heard much about it.
That game was great, too.
Was it? Okay.
It was really good. It was like a really great iteration of NBA Jam. I mean, so this game produced a bunch of sequels. It also, as we said, it popularized the like arcadey sports wave. So after this game, they're Midway made 2-on-2 open ice challenge, which you've probably never heard of, but it's essentially a hockey version of NBA Jam. It came out on PlayStation. It was in the arcades. They also made Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey and eventually NHL hits as well.
Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey is so good. So good.
Yeah. That was a big one growing up for, I think, us in particular.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I played a little bit of that when I was younger. I do remember playing that. Like, I think it was on Sega, right? Was it on there? I think I had a friend who had Sega growing up who I'd go play games a lot. And I seem to remember playing it there.
I played
It was another hockey game.
It was on N64. I don't think it was anywhere else.
Oh, okay. I think you have a different one.
I wonder if the same guy did... Yes, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the guy who did the voice work for NBA Jam did the voice work for Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey as well.
Hmm.
That's funny. So, like... There's some classic lines in there too, like when he gets hit by, or like, it's a power play.
He's a brick wall.
When the ambulance comes.
Yeah,
he's a brick wall. That's the same guy. But also, Midway made NFL Blitz after this game too, which was a big one. MLB Slugfest. I was never too big into Blitz, but people love the shit out of NFL Blitz.
Blitz, yeah, so good.
Yeah.
They made NHL Hits too. Do you ever play that for PlayStation? Yeah,
PlayStation 2. That was the next iteration of Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey is NHL Hits.
There we go. Yep.
Other things. So the guy we were mentioning this before the podcast, and the guy who does the voice work for NBA Jam, who made said Boom Shakalaka, is available for hire. If you Google him, his name is Tim Kitzkow. You can pay $50 and get a drop on your podcast. If we wanted to make him do the intro, we could get him to do the intro to this podcast for $50. So he's available for your hiring.
How much is Marv Albert these days? He may
do that in post.
Now.
What's that?
I said, how much is Marv Albert these days? He may be cheaper now.
Yeah, it's true. Recently, this came out that a developer who worked on the game intentionally made Chicago miss last-second shots against the Pistons in particular because he was a fan of the Pistons and not Chicago.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
That's so good.
I love that.
It's so spiteful. It's so good. But yeah, a big thing in this game to like, I think one of the reasons why it was so well thought of in the arcades is whenever you're down, there's rubber banding in this game. So if you go up too much or down too much, your AI will assist you to catch up. Or the AI of the computer will play better and make more shots to catch up. So they tried to level the playing field to make it easier for everybody. Again, adding to the arcade experience.
Yeah, I mean, good. It's, That stuff makes this game so much fun back then and still to this day. You know, we still play this game every now and then to this day.
Right.
So
I was looking at, you can look up stats on your win-loss record on your cartridge on the Genesis or the Super Nintendo version. I was looking up my stats for my initials, and I had 50 wins and 4 losses.
Wasn't I one of those 4 losses? I think I was one of those 4 losses.
Maybe it could be. That's the original cart that I have from back in the day. It's one of my only original carts that I still own from way back in the day. But yeah, so I think we've talked about this game for a bit. Where does it go on our endless list? Which I should mention is available for you to check out on our Medium page, which is in the podcast description. Also available on our Medium page. Did I just say that? I think I just said that. Our endless list goes from number 1 Super Mario 64 to number 96 Jurassic Park Trespasser. It's our 97th entry. Last week we added Castlevania Symphony of the Night at number 3. just to start off this conversation, personally, I think that this game is a bit, and just for like keeping it together with other games that are easily comparable, I think this game is a better game than Tecmo Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
At number 21.
I was going to suggest we start there too, and I agree. I think it's better.
I could see this game going above Metroid at number 19. I think this game holds up tremendously well and is an extremely fun sports game. I don't know. It's the problem that this game has is that because it's so arcadey, it's shallow in terms of its gameplay. But it's super fun to play. It's still super fun to play. It holds up very well. So I don't know how high up we want to go with this.
Yeah, I mean, because we're kind of hitting this area of the list where these are all very, with the exception of GoldenEye, these are all very single player centric games, and this, I think, like what is the
deep
best
in depth?
What is the most appealing part of this game is that this is like, I would say, probably one of the most fun multiplayer games you can have with your friends, and we don't really have.
Right.
That's like the heart of this game, and we don't really have that at this point in the list. But that, you know, but at the end of the day, it's how much fun are you having? And I would have a lot of fun if we were not in quarantine playing NBA Jam with you guys at this moment. So
right,
yeah, I second that.
So I don't know. It's I would go above Star Fox 64, Red Dead Redemption.
Hard for me to put this above Mega Man 2.
Yeah, I kind of hit that.
You all know my thoughts on Red Dead Redemption.
It's a brick wall. Is what I just said in my head about.
Yeah, I kind of look at Star Fox 64 as being another. It's not an arcade game, but it's kind of got that arcade feeling to it, and it's a deeper game than NBA Jam for sure. But yeah, I don't know, between above Tecmo Super Bowl at 21 and between or around Star Fox at 16 sounds about right to me as like the range for this, because it's endlessly replayable and it's got huge appeal and just like this great kind of nostalgia hit of 90s NBA basketball. But I don't know, like, I mean, a lot of these top tier games, like, I don't know if I can justify putting an arcade basketball game too high up on this list. So that kind of 20 to 14 region or 20 to 16 region feels right.
I think that this game, if we're comparing it to Star Fox 64, I would rather play NBA Jam all day than pick up and play Star Fox 64. Actually, maybe not all day, but I would rather play
half the day.
Yeah. And I'd say probably like 80% of the time I prefer to play NBA Jam. Star Fox 64 is still fun, you know. That game is also pretty replayable in terms of going back and going through it. And there's a couple different paths you go through, and it's just fun. It's quick to go through.
Speaking of the 90s, Star Fox 64 has that sweet Independence Day knockoff level. So that's about as 90s
as
it gets.
That's true.
I am not personally a big fan of that level. I don't. The 3D levels in Star Fox 64 were never that great, but that's just me. Like the full 3D levels.
Yeah.
Oh, I love those. I mean, I'm giving the nod to Star Fox 64. I think that's a better game than NBA Jam, to be perfectly honest.
Chris, where do you lie?
I would put it at 15. So it would knock Red Dead Redemption down, but it's not better than Mega Man 2.
So if we take the averages, because I would probably put it above Star Fox 64 and in between Red Dead Redemption, I think the average between the three of us would be there. Would that be correct? At a new number 16, pushing Star Fox down?
Yeah. So, Chris, you're putting it at 15. Mike, you're putting it at 16.
16.
I'm putting it at 17.
17.
So, if my math is correct, that sounds right that it should go at 16.
Okay. I just wanted somebody to double-check my work.
I'm probably the last person you want double-checking your work, but yes, I think it checks out.
Cool. So that works out. So we'll put it as our new number 16, NBA Jam. Congratulations. You are the highest rated sports game currently on the Endless list at number 16.
Now I'm like curious.
From way downtown.
I'm curious what's going to happen now. If we do either Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey or NHL 94.
Yeah, NHL 94. I'm like trying to think of what sports games would go above this. Because NHL 94 has a shot, probably.
Slapshot.
Like those NHL games in that time period. But what else? What else? What other sports games are we gonna compete?
NFL for? Blitz.
I am not a fan of NFL Blitz, but I think I'm just bad at it.
You're gonna see the Space Jam game tear up the list. That's what I'm telling you guys right now.
I think
I'm excited for you guys to eventually play NBA Hangtime, because that game is great. Even with the N64 controller, it's still a really good version of NBA Jam.
You know what I was looking up while we were playing this? NBA Street. Did you guys ever play that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll be better, but I feel like that's kind of got the spirit of NBA Jam in it.
Yep.
Like the fun arcade-y basketball game. So just plug in that for future podcasts. Mm.
Cool. So congratulations to our 97th entry on the Endless List, our new number 16 game. A top 20 game on our Endless List, NBA Jam. Your time has arrived. Boom shakalaka. And again, if you guys would like to check out the Endless List, go to our Medium page. It's in the podcast description as well. It's linked there. Follow us at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. itssobadpod@gmail.com is the email address for you to send your questions, comments, or concerns. We love all of your emails. Even from people we know that have access to Grind, you can send us your emails. We love them. Just send it to us. We'll reply. And I'll send it to the group, and the group will reply. Nevertheless, itssobadpod@gmail.com. But I want to thank you, Chris, so much for joining us this week.
Hey, any time.
And thank you, Steve, for joining us as well.
Thank you, Mike, and boom shakalaka to all you out there.
Mm. Boom shakalaka is the word of the day. All right, well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.